Hello, everyone. I wanted to talk about rotisserie chicken. And the thoughts I'm going to share with you are based on the Torah Avigdor by Rabbi Avigdor Miller. The parshios that we're talking about these weeks, Parshas Vayetze now, this Parshas Vayishlach, have a lot of talk about wicked people and great people. So let's figure out what that has to do with rotisserie chicken, and more than that, what that has to do with us. Let's start with quoting the Pasuk in Koheles, which says, Gam ezel u'mazeh asa Elokim, that Hashem made, when Hashem created the world, he made one thing opposite the other. So what Shlomo HaMelech is telling us is that every single phenomena in the world is placed there by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to cooperate with each other. Meaning, even though like superficially it seems that the world is filled with very unrelated things, if you study Hashem's creations, you're going to see that every single thing actually has a place, and not only does it have a place, but it's zel u'maseh. One thing is made to cooperate with something else. There's something good, and opposite that is something bad. There's something sweet, and opposite that is something sour. Not only is this functioning in the physical world that's like that, but even another a phenomena that an example that's brought down is that Bara Tzadikim, the Baruch Hashem created Tzadikim, Ulu Umazeh, and opposite this, Bara Risham, Hashem created Risham. So Hashem purposely sets the stage of history where a Tzadik and a Rasha kind of face off with each other. Okay, so what does Hashem do? When Hashem sees that there's going to be a certain tzaddik, a person who's going to really exert himself to choose the right way in life, Hashem wants to give this person the opportunity to accomplish in this world. So what does he do? He looks in the future and he finds a person who chooses to be a rasha, a person with certain abilities, certain kochos, and he says, Hashem says, I'm going to put them together in this world. They're going to be in the same generation, the same locale, and the purpose is to give the tzaddik an opportunity to be tested by the rasha. And really, that's how our great people throughout history become great, because of zel u'mazeh. There was always somebody else who stood opposite them, someone placed opposite them, giving them opportunities to really rise to the occasion, so to speak. Where do we find this? So in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, it tells us that ba'achas hayom, at the end of days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make an announcement that everyone who deserves reward for everything they did in this world should come and come get your schar, come get your reward. So what's going to happen if the Rosh Hashanah announces rewards being given out? We're all going to run to line up, and including in this major lineup, all the Umos HaOlam, all the non-Jews are going to come too. From all periods of history, they're going to come and say, here we are, we're applying, we're here to pick up our reward. So there's a whole conversation that the Gemara writes back and forth and back and forth, and finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them the news. So sorry, darlings, you don't qualify. I'm sorry, there's only one nation that's going to get rewarded, and that's Klal Yisrael. So the guy answers, why did you choose Am Yisrael? Just because they accepted your Torah? One minute, did they fulfill your mitzvos? Like, who said they obeyed the Torah? Like, sure, they accepted it, but who said they kept it? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Umos HaOlam as follows. He says, listen, I'm going to bring witnesses. I'm going to bring Edom to testify on my people. Yitnu edehem v'yitzdaku. Let these Edom come and let them testify. Let them give their testimonies to demonstrate how great Klal Yisrael is. Okay, so know who are these Edom? Who is Hashem choosing to be witnesses? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls witness number one into the courtroom. Who's that? Yavo Nimrod v'ya'id al Avraham. Let Nimrod come, says Hashem, and he should testify about Avraham. Now, we all know who Nimrod is, right? He wasn't a little nobody. If someone was boxing, you would have to test a heavyweight against him, right? The great people like Avraham Avinu can't be tested like a small rasha. They need to be tested by a really big mamazetzer. You have to really bring in someone really great to test Avraham Avinu. And there was nobody greater, meaning nobody worse, than Nimrod. And the Torah goes out of the way to describe his power, how he was a gibor tzayit, and how he was such a rasha, he built cities. His rishus is incredible. However, this is who we're calling on to testify on Avraham Avinu's greatness. Because now we understand it didn't just happen in the generation of Nimrod that Avraham happened to be there and Avraham utilized the opportunity to oppose Nimrod. No. Zeh l'umazeh asalukim. What happened was that Hashem saw Nimrod's greatness, he saw his potential, and I'm sorry, Hashem saw Avram's greatness, he saw his potential, and that's why Hashem created a Nimrod. All of Nimrod's achievements were granted to him for one purpose. It was the purpose of Hashem saying, I want this to be Zevul Maaseh. I want you to be opposite Avram Avinu. Hashem said, here's a little boychikal coming up in this generation. This boy has such tremendous potential, and I'm going to give him the opportunity to become great. I'm going to give him a Nimrod, a tyrant, a genius, an organizer, right? One of the greatest men, but he's a real tyrant. And Avram Avinu will have the opportunity to buck a Russia like that. And Avram did it, and it made it who he made him what he is. Avram appeared in the middle of that cloudburst of idolatry, and he was able to withstand that power called Nimrod. And so now we understand why Nimrod was placed in the days of Avram Avinu. Okay, let's go back to our Medrash, where Hashem is calling Edom. So he calls Nimrod. There's another famous witness that's going to be summoned. Hashem's going to call Ashes Potiphar. And she's going to call Ashes Potiphar, V'ta'id b'Yosef shalo nachshad al ha'avera. What is he calling Ashes Potiphar? That she's going to witness, she's going to testify that Yosef should not be suspected of anything. She was the one who could testify. Yosef HaTzadik became Yosef HaTzadik. Why? Because of Ashes Potiphar. And now we understand why it had to happen that day, that way, right? Potiphar could have had a wife who had no interest in anyone else, right? She didn't have to be that kind of lady. She could have been the type of wife who was never home. She was always busy with the sisterhood or planning teas or raising money for poor Egyptian orphans, right? Or maybe she loved to shop and she's always on by the shops looking for great deals. But the Rebbe Shalom created a woman who wasn't that type. She was a lady who was always home, and she was always around, and she was always there to entice Yosef. And she's the one who's going to, the Rebbe Shalom is going to call her to testify on Yosef's greatness. There's more people who are going to come to testify. Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and speak about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, how they stood up to him and they wouldn't bow down to his idols. Daryavish is going to come and he's going to testify about Daniel's greatness, how he continued to daven three times a day, even when it was forbidden. Even Mamish in the palace of the king, just when Daniel kept on davening. How did Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah become great? Because of Nebuchadnezzar. How did Daniel become great? Because there was a Daryavish. And why was there a Nebuchadnezzar? Why was there a Daryavish? Gam ezel l'umaseh asalukim. Because when Hashem saw that there would be a tzaddik in the generation, that's why he placed a Rasha in that generation too. And ba'achris hayom, at the end of days, it's going to be so clear to everyone that because of this principle, because bara tzaddikim l'umaseh bara risham, Hashem creates tzaddikim and opposite them, he creates risham, that's how people rise to greatness. Okay, let's talk about this week's parsha. Last week's parsha of Vayetze, this week's parsha of Vayishlach. One of the witnesses that it says in the Gemara is going to come to testify by Achris Hayom at the end of days is going to be one of our favorite characters from these few weeks' parshios. It's our old friend Lavan. Yavo Lavan, let Lavan come, says Hashem, via Id al Yaakov. And he's going to come and testify about the greatness of Yaakov. It means that Lavan is the one who was placed Lu'umas Yaakov. It was by means of Lavan that Yaakov became great. Now, we would think just the opposite, right? If you asked us, we would have said that Yaakov achieved his greatness because he was the Yoshev Olam. He was fortunate enough. He sat and he shtayed and he learned Torah day and night. He sat in the tents of Yaakov, of Yitzchak and Rivka, and for 14 years he was in Shem Be'ever. During those years, his asmada was not stam. It says, Vayishka v'makom mahu, the first time in 14 years that Yaakov Avinu laid down was after he left the yeshiva when he laid down by Har Habayis. In yeshiva, he slept, he put his head down on his hands on the table. He didn't even lay down on the bed. He didn't want to sleep too much, right? Now, learning with Hasmada for 14 years is quite an accomplishment, right? If anybody would hear about someone who learned Mamish by Hasmada 14 years, that would be a big somebody. He would be listening to Shir for 14 years, not coming home one single night. Unbelievable. So where did Yaakov Avinu become great? Where did he become Yaakov Avinu? We think it was because he was Yosef Olam. But what happened? After that, he ended up in the house of Lavan. It was downhill from there. It was Lavan was as mean as could be. He was as crooked as could be. For us, it would have been like a henim. We wouldn't have been able to take it more than a week. But Yaakov took her for 20 years. And in such a house, you would think, like, it's a Peleth, he could even retain his level that he came. But at the end of days, we're going to find out, and we're going to find just the opposite. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu will search for an aid to testify about Yaakov's greatness, it's going to be Lavan who's called in, not Yitzchak and Rivka, not Shem and Aver. I'm sure they have good things to say. Don't get me wrong. Very good things, right? But it's going to be Lavan. It's the house of Lavan that he achieved his greatness in the most unlikely place. How is that? How was he able to get great there? Well, let's read a pasuk that it says when what Yaakov said at the end when he's already leaving Lavan's house and he's meeting Esav. What does he say? In Lavan garti, I lived with Lavan. Vayihi shor v'chamor tzon ve'eved v'shefcha. I got the ox and the donkeys and flax and servants and maidservants, right? So now we remember that Yaakov came to Lavan totally penniless. Eliphaz took everything from him. He had nothing. And now he's leaving Lavan's house with tremendous wealth. So that's what we say. Wow, he got very wealthy. That's amazing. Good for you, Yaakov. You came penniless, you're leaving wealthy. But it's really not what it's just a hint to really what's really going on. But the Medrash tells us and really explains what these psukim are saying. Vayehi lishur. And Chazal tell us shur ze Yosef. That Yosef is called a shur in Tanakh. B'chor shoro, it says about Yosef. The pasuk here is hinting to that. It doesn't mean only that he gained a son by the name of Yosef. Yosef was greatness. To have Yosef is amazing. But it also means a Menashe and Ephraim. And it also means that in order to have a son like Yosef, you had to be on a certain madriga. Vachamor, because it says, Imlavangati vayhibi shor, so shor is Yosef, vachamor, a donkey. What does a donkey signify? So our chachamim tell us, ani v'rochev al chamor. It's talking about Mashiach, right? That Mashiach is going to be a humble person riding on a donkey. Mashiach is going to develop from Beis David, and this is accomplished already in the house of Lavan, right? Yehuda was born to Lavan Yehuda was born to Yaakov in Lavan's house, and that was the seed of Mashiach. So, im lavan garti vahili shor, that's Yosef. Hamor, that's Mashiach. Tzon, what's the tzon that Yaakov acquired? So, tzon elu Yisrael, that's Klal Yisrael, right? That he was able to, the whole future of Klal Yisrael throughout the generations, everything grew out of the greatness that Yaakov achieved in the house in Lavan. The Eved v'shifcha, the pasuk continues, that's Moshe Eved Hashem, the most important individual on the face of this planet, Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, the seeds for Moshe Rabbeinu were planted in this house of Lavan and Shifcha. One of the greatest women who ever appeared is called Rus, was called Shifcha Secha, a maidservant to Shifcha, and it's hinting to her that she was a shifcha and would ready, and from her would come Beis Daven, and from her would come Mashiach. All that perfection that Yaakov Avinu achieved was wrapped up, not by Yitzchak and Rivka, not by Shem and Aver. He got it in the house of Lavan. Now, Lavan, we know, was a really difficult father-in-law to live with, right? A shver like Lavan, we could live without. He's a pain in the neck. Even if one was in Australia and one was in New York, it would be a pain in the neck. But to live in his house, that's not easy. Yaakov was suffering from his father-in-law, the midos and the lies and the treachery every minute of the day, and yet he tolerated it, not for a minute, not for a day, not for an hour, not for a week, not for a week, not for months, but for 20 years. Imagine someone who has an employer and he cheats a person out of the salary week after week after week after week after week, right? And as much as Lavan cheated Yaakov, still Yaakov Avinu behaved loyally to Lavan. And that's how Yaakov became great. It's a little bit like sandpaper on wood. It's not easy for furniture to be sanded down, right? You have to apply pressure and rub and rub back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. But that's how it becomes polished. That's how it becomes smooth so you can make it into furniture. Those rough edges are smooth. And that's the same way that a person perfects his character. Perfection of the mind, perfection of the midos, it's not easy. No way. We need so many things to sandpaper us, to make us smooth and easy to deal with. And to make us successful people, we need that friction. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends things to us. He sends us people to sand us down. And now we know why there was a Lavan. It wasn't an accident. You know, Lavan easily could have been a man like Yisro. Yisro was very hospitable. He was very pleasant, right? He was a philosopher, right? He practiced a lot of the mitzvahs just by seichel, right? Why not? Nope. Hashem placed love on there intentionally, so that when Yaakov would come to Paddan Aram, he would find love on who would cheat him at every step, who would be cruel to him at every step. It's wrong to think that love on just happened to be there. And despite love on being there, Yaakov became great. No. That's not how it is. Love on was put there in order to make Yaakov great. And Yaakov understood that. He understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would put opportunities before him. And because he understood that, that's why he became great. And he was really able to achieve Shlemus because of that. And that's really the pshat of the beginning of the Pasuk, where it says, "Im Lavan garti v'taryag mitzvah shamarti." I lived with Lavan and I kept the Torah. Now, we all translate that always, right? I lived with the Rasha, and despite that, I kept the taryag mitzvos. But now we know the real pshat. I lived with the Rasha in Yavan Garti, and because of that, because of the way that I lived with him, the Tayag Mitzvah Shemarti, that's how I became what I became. That's how all of us became the nation of Hashem that still keeps the Tayag Mitzvah. Now, we know Chazal always tell us Masa Avos Simul Abanim, which really means that this idea of Gam Ezeh L'um Azeh Asalukim, that Hashem made one opposite the other, applies not only to Avram and Nimrod, not only to Yaakov and Lavan, not only to Yosef and Eshes Potiphar. Those are only examples. But it's us. It's us right now. Just like our Avos, we are constantly being given opportunities to achieve greatness by the means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us in. So what happens? What happens is that we're not always prepared, right? We don't understand. We don't have clarity of the ways of Hashem in this world. And that's why we sometimes get so overwhelmed by these things. So many Avrams get lost, and so many Yosefs yield to temptation, and so many, we do know the successes, Baruch Hashem, right? So many Yaakovs fail with their father-in-laws, right? So really, we have to understand this. And we could really understand that by learning the Mesilas Yesharim. And the Mesilas Yesharim tells us very, very clearly, Kol inyanei ha'olam nisyonos heim la'adam. Kol inyanei ha'olam nisyonos heim la'adam. That all the matters of the world are tests for man. Every single thing is a test. It's a very important statement, and we have to understand that no matter what happens, no matter what event transpires, no matter whose path you cross, it's for one purpose. It's to test you. And that's included in Hashgacha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concentrating on every single one of Am Yisrael day and night. Day and night. That's all he does, is concentrating on us. And every single thing that he's doing is planned for our Shlemus. It's planned for our perfection. And the way we react to that Nisayon, that's our success in life. Every single person that crosses your path is sent to test you. Let's say the person's bothersome. Let's say she's arrogant. Let's say she's a bore. Let's say he's not smart. It doesn't matter. If you use the opportunity to treat him properly, then when he goes away, you have become great. By choosing properly, you acquire Shlemus, and that stays with you forever and ever and ever. So I told you we're going to talk about rotisserie chicken, so we better talk about it quick or else you're going to be disappointed. But let's compare ourselves a little bit. Let's say a person buys a whole chicken. I'm not talking about the cut-up chicken that you buy in trays from the store. I'm talking about like a whole chicken or a whole duck. I think it used to be like more in the olden days, meaning when I was growing up, that people bought that. Now we usually buy trays of chicken. But let's imagine, if you go into Wasserman and Lemberger, you even see them having rotisserie chicken there behind the counter. But let's say you buy a whole chicken or a whole duck, and you want it well done. You want it to be just deliciously crispy on the outside and soft and tender on the inside. So what do? You hang it up on a rotisserie, which is like a long metal rod, and the rotisserie, the spit, turns above the fire so that the chicken or the duck should be well roasted in every single cranny. It's constantly turning and facing the fire in every direction so that it should be well done. There should be no raw spots, and that's why it spins. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us through life like we're on a rotisserie. He's turning us this way. He's turning us that way. He's turning us this way. He's turning us that way. He's giving us opportunities, all types of people to deal with, all types of Rishab, even Tzadikim, to deal with that are just different than us. Why? So that we could be well done. But not only, it's not only Risham, like in the sense of love on. It doesn't mean that we're always like, pow, pow, you're dead with evil men. It doesn't, Barat Tzadikim Uvar Risham is only one example. But Hashem, Zem Umar said, really this means opposites. People are different from each other. Sometimes a big tzaddik has to put up with another big tzaddik, and they have differences. Well, guess what? Those differences are well planned. It could be siblings, starting off life, there are siblings. It's an opportunity to turn, to sand down those rough edges. We can't, we want to pass that nisayon, right? We're not going to be in the house with them forever. We want to be able to pass it. We start off kind of rubbing shoulders with siblings. Parents, father and mother are great tests. Not only is it a test to get them a glass of water or not to sit in their seat, but a test to deal with parents every single day. It's not always easy, right? But that's another opportunity. There's landlords, there's neighbors, there's coworkers, there's sisters-in-law, there's parents-in-law. All of those are examples of opportunities to really sandpaper ourselves very, very well, and they're all placed there for one purpose, and that is to make us great. And really, anyone who thinks about it understands that nothing happens by itself. We understand that every single phenomena in this world is put there by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why instead of getting angry or upset or frustrated, we could really understand that it's really a gift. It's a gift to be utilized, and we could rise to the occasion. We want to be well roasted, not toasted, but roasted in a very delicious way, like a rotisserie chicken. And whenever we're confronted by difficult people in difficult situations, and we are daily, we have to realize that they're put there for our benefit. All of us are being put through these tests in order to have us become well done. Every single one of us are in the rotisserie, and we're turning exactly where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to turn, turning to face exactly who he wants us to face. And Be'ezus Hashem, we should all utilize our lives properly. We should become shlemim, and we should rise to the occasion, and Be'ezus Hashem, come out in the best possible way. I want to wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos. Kol Tov.